Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
It's The Amazing Show, featuring the amazing James Randi. For more information on all things Randi, including the Million Dollar Challenge, head to randi.org. Hi, everybody. I'm Justin Robert. Hi, everybody. I'm Justin Robert Young from iTricks.com, and this is part two of our episode dealing with the end of the Million Dollar Challenge. Without further ado, here's the man who makes the show, James Randi.
Oh, I'll give you a famous one. Not a famous one, but
yeah. An
example of it. This fellow, what's his name? Riley G, I think, is what he calls himself. I've forgotten what his real name is, and I don't care much. He lives, I think, in Brooklyn, probably still. And he professed to be a friend of Uri Geller's, but now Geller is denying that he ever met him for some reason or other.
That's an odd position.
Yeah, yes. Well, yes. Yes.
Oh, I never saw him the other way around.
But Riley G sent us an acceptance, and he signed the forms and such. And I looked him over, and I thought, oh, no, we're not going to get away with this.
Yeah.
He said that we would arrange a date, and he would arrive early in the morning at the foundation, and we would introduce him to a person who would be the subject of this experiment. Then that person would go away on a bicycle or taxi cab or in their car or whatever and conceal themselves during the next hour someplace in the area. And that after that, they would phone in and say, okay, I'm in position. They could go to a hotel or a restaurant or whatever they wanted, or the library for that matter, and call in and say, okay, I'm here. And he said that he would then give the cross streets and the approximate location. And then he would give house numbers and whatnot to identify where this person was. Do you see anything wrong with that? This is a test.
Yeah. No, a test. Well, I mean, I can think of ways that he might, you know, go about doing that.
All right. Give me an example.
I mean, you'd have somebody follow him. You'd have you know, somebody tail him and then in some way signal, you know, specifics. I mean, that'd be the initial guess.
Yeah. Well, we figured that, of course. And whether it was with a concealed radio listener or whatever in his ear or something he could put to his ear, whatever it might have been, he had all day to do it. So there was some way of getting a message to him, I'm sure, in his sandwich at lunch.
Yeah. You know,
whatever.
He would just sit there and like, it's not coming in yet.
So,
can I get that pastrami?
I changed the rules somewhat.
Okay.
And I said, you'll arrive on such, and we named the date that he had agreed to. And we will give you a photograph identifying the person. And you will then set out to locate the person. Oh, no, I want to meet the person first. And I said, okay, then you can meet the person on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we'll do the test. And no, I don't want to do it that way. And he sort of evaporated as a contestant.
Ah.
He decided that he would not, as an applicant, I should say, because it isn't a contest. It's strictly a prize. So Riley G rather flubbed that. And we haven't heard from him since, as a matter of fact. But I guess he's around someplace.
I'm sure he's kicking around somewhere in the fine borough of Brooklyn.
Yes, he's a motorcyclist, by the way, and he involves himself in motorcycle races. And it's strange because he's on 100% disability from the New York City Police Department. And yet he can still race motorcycles. And he has a big Harley Davidson. And he gets a rather good sum of money, from my understanding, from the New York City Police Department.
New York's finest
cripples or something. I don't know. But that seems like an anomaly to me. But
it was rare that you know that these go to testing. But you guys have had some high profile.
Oh yeah, we've had them right in this very library where we are seated. This is sacred ground, you see.
Indeed, yes,
yeah.
this is home base. This is the
We've had dowsers and we've had. I had one man. What was it? He was dressed all in white. He was imitating it. Oh, yes, he was going to make the leaves fall off the trees outside. And it worked eventually because Katrina came along and blew them all down. But so maybe he has to win the $1 million prize. But we never did quite come to terms on that.
Yeah.
And oh, he was one of these, I've forgotten what the name that you give to them. He wouldn't touch anything. He wore gloves all the time.
Oh, obsessive compulsive.
And yes, and yeah. He had a little mask on, a face mask.
Surgical
he didn't want to breathe
mask,
in
yeah.
any germs. And I wasn't to kiss him on the mouth, he told me right off. And I found that I could resist that very,
oh, okay.
very easily. I found no compulsion to do so. But, he wouldn't touch anything. The doorknobs or anything, he'd actually, with the gloves on, he'd take Kleenex from his pocket to turn the doorknob, leave the doorknob. I didn't follow him to the bathroom, but I would have. Well, there are all kinds of questions that I should ask, but I won't get into them, and our audience can use their imagination. But in any case, he didn't get around to do a test. But we did do a great number. And most of the tests were not done here. Most of them were from other countries, people who could heal or could diagnose. Oh, I love the woman who came from, where was it? It wasn't Hungary. It was Lithuania.
Okay.
Lithuania. She had applied, and we had said her claim that she could diagnose people simply by looking at them and passing her hands near their body, that she could tell what their past illnesses were and give dates and whatnot. Okay. We said that would be acceptable, and then we didn't hear from her. But 3 or 4 days later, she showed up at the door on a Monday morning.
Yeah.
And whoever was my secretary at the time there called and said, there's a woman from Lithuania here. Well, she came in with her translator and with a friend of hers, and I said, well, we're not ready. We haven't got a subject for you, you see. And she said, oh, well, I'll analyze you. Well, this is before I had my heart condition and such. And I said, okay, this will do for the preliminary. And I thought, well, she can certainly have looked up every bit of information she can get on me.
Yeah.
But she hadn't done that, apparently, because she said I had this and that and the other thing, all of which I didn't have any of. And she kept on asking for feedback. You know, is that true? Is that true? And I said, no, finish the whole business. We'll write down all of these things. And she wrote down, 30 or 40 dreadful things that I had. Everything from hangnail to sore feet or whatever. I don't know. I looked them all over and I said, yes, one of these is correct. And she said, aha, kind of thing. And it was a very minor thing that I had recently had a visit to the dentist, who was right across the street over there.
Mm-hmm.
That was true, but I said, that's not an ailment. Well, you had to have an ailment. I just had a filling replaced. Well, there you go. That's a distinct ailment. I said, yeah, but 29 out of these 30 were wrong. So where do we go from here? Well, that was sort of it.
Yeah.
And she didn't go ahead with it. But I found out later what her gimmick was.
It
was interesting. She had raised some money through some sponsors in Lithuania. And one of the sponsors was the premier of Lithuania.
Really?
She eventually became his personal psychic healer.
Wow.
It made the news. It was on some news service or other. And through Google, it came to my attention.
Yeah.
But she had raised money through him, through some government agency, to be able to come to the United States because there were people over here that wanted her services.
That's crazy.
People living in Lithuanian communities in various cities, and she toured the whole United States and must have done rather well.
Must have cleaned up, and she figured she could stop in here.
And all of her expenses are covered, and she might have won the $1 million prize, too. That would be a bonus.
Yeah, she could have popped into South Florida and left with a cool mill.
So I don't know what happened to her. I think he was deposed or shot or something. I don't know what happened, but whatever the case, she's no longer in that position, I would guess. I don't know.
In need of some sort of healing.
Yeah, there you go.
Psychic or otherwise.
So people have been tested, certainly. They have been tested. But mostly in other countries, as I say, and we just simply get a report of them. We assign somebody from a local skeptical group, usually.
Yeah. And
there are lots of them.
That's what I want to ask. Because, I mean, when it does go to testing, there is a great benefit to having, you know, someone like you or Andrew who has, you know, a magical kind of thing that knows where these kind of these gimmicks are going to come in if it's somebody who uses a method. When you do it outside the country, the idea of what they're looking for, that comes from the foundation, right? It comes from...
Well, We try to give them some guidance. For example, when they're in the UK, we ask Chris French over there, who's at My mind slips a lot lately. Goldsmith College, yes, in the UK. And he actually teaches psychology there, and he has a degree in parapsychology, but he is among those that small handful of parapsychologists who've never had a positive experiment in all of his life, and he doesn't take it too seriously at the moment. But he certainly does investigate this sort of thing from time to time, and he knows what he's doing. I don't even have to think about it. I just say, Chris, do it.
Yeah.
You know, and he does it by the best means, and it's always statistically sound and appropriate amount of data and whatnot. So trust it entirely to him.
Yeah. So you guys have a certain amount of people just internationally that you guys can go to.
And in Hungary, we've got Gyula Bensi there is with the Hungarian it's Atomic Energy Commission, as a matter of fact. But he's very, very experienced in this field, and he does it for us over there. And we have in Russia and various parts of the world, we have various people who would do these things, even in other parts of the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
But
not like the West Coast.
All over the. Oh, yeah, certainly the West Coast. Yeah, Shermer's out there.
Yeah, Shermer, yeah.
For example.
Yeah. He can carve some time out of his very busy schedule.
Yeah, yes, indeed, writing books and making money.
And to see if somebody can cloud write by their hands or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Now, have you gotten feedback since your announcement on Friday?
Oh, yeah, lots. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Just real quick, just go
ahead. It's about half and half divided as to from people who say they want it to continue because it's a conversation piece for them, and it's a conversation point that they can make when arguing these things. How come nobody has won this prize?
And I certainly agree with that. I mean,
And I can't help but agree with it. However, then there are people who say they understand the amount of work that it can be, and I haven't gotten any people yet saying, "Ha ha! Finally, you suspect that there is something, and you're afraid you're going to lose your $1 million." Though I said on the page just last week, "Don't worry about that." I've never had one moment's hesitation whatsoever about the fact that the prize would not be won. I've never expected anyone to win it, certainly.
Yeah, and it really is. It's a testament to how seriously you guys have taken the challenge that there is this kind of workload that, you know, you guys, the 50% of the effort put forth in the challenge is making sure that people's notarizations, are correct and everything. But it's certainly a daunting task. And so why 24 months?
Well, we just decided that 2 years should be sufficient because some of these people, the one fellow that taught remote viewing, a PhD in the Los Angeles area, took 4.5 years to discuss what the parameters of the test would be. And we'd approve his target list and send it back to him with comments and whatnot. And then he'd send it back to us because he'd made some changes in it because he wasn't satisfied with some of the. But that's up to him. He can do that any number of times that he wants. But then he turned us over to a group in Hawaii, and they never got back to us. And so the whole thing just fell on his face, and he changed his email address and his phone number, perhaps to avoid us. I can't imagine
perhaps.
Why. But we never heard back from him. Never heard back.
Man. So you figured just in the way these things go in terms of the applications, and 2 years, and then that's...
2 years should be sufficient, and maybe it'll hurry some people along to apply for it. But
hey, just in case you've been putting it off, this whole winning $1 million thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Get on the ball.
The basic facts are these. The professionals will never come anywhere near us because they know they can't win. The amateurs will continue to try to come close to us, but a good 90% of those that apply never do anything with it. They never go any further, and we just can't communicate with them any longer. And they say sometimes, "Oh, my spirit guide told me I shouldn't do this," or whatever. So we simply accept that, and we say, "Yeah, sure."
Questions? Comments? Topic suggestions? Email us at randy@itricks.com.